You are watching the Hoop Central podcast right here on Spirit Live. Hey, how is it going, everyone? Welcome back to the Hoop Central podcast. What is this, season three? My goodness. Ow. What a time to be alive. You know what? Not even just the fact that Hoop Central's back. I can see Malik right across from me. You know how crazy that is?
Holy smokes. I can see Nakeem right across from me. You know how crazy that is?
Man, you know, we've been doing all the Zoom podcast recordings. I know you guys are obviously listening like, oh, wow, this audio sounds mighty fun.
Very professional.
We are back in studio at the Allen Slate Radio Institute in Ryerson. And it is just such a privilege to be back here, you know, finally getting back to doing the thing that we love in the place that we love. And what's better than to talk some NBA hoops, you know?
Talk some ball. There's been a lot that's going on right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Too much is going on right now. We're going to get right into it. But yeah, we just decided let's do an episode because we came down here for one class and it's our very first day in Ryerson since last semester. So We said, let's make it a spontaneous day and let's get this Hoop Central going.
And you know what? It's never a dull moment with Malik because I just know he's going to say some, as Stephen A. Smith will say, blasphemous takes. Just don't worry. Trust me. Although we are a little late, we are still going to get right into it and discuss these various topics. And Malik, the trade deadline was amazing. I think that has to be arguably one of the best in recent memory, if not like top five or something, considering the big names that were dealt. Just off of the surface level before we dig deep into it, give us your initial thoughts on the trade deadline.
Yeah, I thought, how are they going to capitalize on last year's trade deadline? Because that was pretty big, surrounding the James Harden deal to go to the Brooklyn Nets. So I'm like, what are they going to do this year? And trades upon trades upon trades. And there was even trades two days before the actual deadline that happened between 2 and 3 o'clock. So it's just been crazy. At least half the teams made a significant deal that help alter their team or possibly something for the future, with a lot of draft picks getting traded left and right as well. So I got to admit, it was a pretty entertaining trade deadline. Kim and I had class that day, but we were on our phones just distracted. Like, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? There's some rumors. There's some predictions. There's trades. Just crazy. It was wild.
Yeah, we apologize to our professors. But hey, it's the trade deadline. What do you expect? What are we supposed to do? Just focus in class while all of these big stuff is happening?
Come on.
But it's funny because Malik mentioned how last year's trade deadline was a bang because who was traded? James Harden. And why was this year the bang? Because someone was traded. Who was it?
James Harden.
Oh my goodness. It is actually crazy to me because despite all the rumors, I didn't actually believe that James Harden would be traded, because like, it's been less than a full season since he's been in a Brooklyn uniform, and rumors are just rumors. You know, a lot of the reporters that are coming out with this information that James is unhappy with the Nets organization were Philadelphia-based reporters. So I'm thinking they're just trying to stir up the pot to get him in Philly. You know, that's their hometown team. But in actuality, they are correct. James was unhappy with the situation, and now he's in the place with his boy, Daryl Morey, who he wanted to be with from the very beginning. And this has some implications I want to ask you about right before we get into breaking down this deal and then also some of the other deals.
Yes.
Is that this seemed like something in the works from last season when he was still a member of the Houston Rockets.
Yeah,
because the Brooklyn Nets weren't one of the teams he was requested to go to. He wanted to go to Philly to be with Daryl Morey, and now he's where he wanted to be. Do you think this opens any potential tampering issue in the NBA that Adam Silver now has to be aware about, where things might not in the media process, but building towards time? Because also Harden is really good friends with the owner of the Sixers, who is like very closely affiliated with Meek Mill and other type of celebrities. So what's your thoughts on that? Because that's kind of a tricky, a fine line that you're crossing there.
Yes, absolutely. I say there's tons of tampering in this deal. And you could all say the same thing for LeBron James. Maybe he gets away with it or not. You could all say the same thing with the Miami Heat and Kyle Lowry, even though that's a complicated situation. But there's a lot of tampering deals that go on the down low, and you don't know the relationships NBA players have with specific owners or managers of a certain franchise. You don't even know. Sometimes not in the media, but Harden and Daryl Morey decide to just make it public, out in the open. Maybe that's just a strategy just to say, hey, we have a relationship. We're not doing anything crazy.
The Philadelphia 76ers and Brooklyn Nets had a blockbuster deal that sent James Harden to the Philadelphia 76ers for Ben Simmons. Other pieces in this trade included Paul Millsap going to the Sixers, as well as the Nets receiving Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and 2 first-round picks. I gotta say, this is a mighty haul for the Brooklyn Nets. I mean,
big return.
You get James Harden. Obviously, he's a superstar, but he's not the same player he was that when you acquired him. He hasn't been the same since injuring that hamstring. But he is still an all-star caliber player. But you bring in Ben Simmons, although he hasn't played this year. From what we know Ben Simmons can provide, that is great defense.
Yes.
That is a great transition player.
Playmaking.
Someone who is going to be an anchor on your team to bring guys together. He's not going to be no superstar stud who's going to close out games for you to deliver buckets, but you already have Kevin Durant. You don't need Ben Simmons to do that. But you also get Seth Curry and Andre Drummond, who I think are some really good assets. And 2 first-round picks.
That's crazy.
Wasn't Daryl Morey the same guy saying that we are requesting the first round picks? But now he ended up giving up first round picks, which I can't believe ended up happening. But Malik, looking at this trade, we had some time to digest it. Although none of these guys have played in their new respective cities. What are your thoughts? Break it down for us. I'm so intrigued to hear what you guys say, because I don't know whether to be excited or to be disappointed if you end up saying something that I'm not going to agree with.
Man, I feel like in the Philadelphia side, it's either a boom or it's a bust at this point, or you keep building around. I assume that Harden will stay with Philadelphia, but what are the core pieces you're going to add with this dynamic duo, Joel Embiid and Harden? There's a lot more pressure on Philadelphia than there is on Brooklyn right now. You got arguably Seth Curry, who's one of the best shooters in the league, and arguably reaching his peak in his shooting percentages, and he's a great complimentary scorer to have alongside Durant and Kyrie if he's eligible for the playoffs, with playing half those games home and away. But 2 first-round picks is crazy as well. Your team's only going to get better from here, adding Cam Thomas, who's a pretty good steal, De'Ron Sharp, Nick Claxton, all those young guys. You're going to keep getting younger, so you got a first-round pick for next year as well. That's beautiful. I say Brooklyn set. You're going to provide your star players with other people around you that will just make others better.
I just think it's a crazy thing that with the Nets, like, on paper, I think they definitely won this trade.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think both teams won it because they both got what they needed.
They both got what they needed.
The potential of this Nets roster is literally through the roof, and I think the fit is much better than when they had James Harden.
Yeah.
Because you knew who your number one was. KD was your number one. Who was the number two? Who was the number three? What are their roles as number two and number threes? We knew, not to go off on a tangent and keep talking about this, but we knew when the Heat joined together, LeBron was number one, D-Wade took the back seat, and then Bosch was the number three. But we also knew that it wasn't necessarily LeBron to be the closer. Dwayne Wade would close a lot of those games out just because of that's who he was in that locker room. We know that with a lot of other cases where now we have the Bulls, DeRozan came in not necessarily being the number one, but being the closer, but grew into that number one role. And
right
now
there,
him and Zach LaVine complement each other.
Exactly.
There was never that complementing piece between the Nets because they were just so good that they can beat teams by so many points without having to worry about who takes the final shot, who sets up who in the corner. But it's going to be interesting. How do you think it fits for the Sixers? The Sixers getting Harden and Millsap with that with Joel Embiid and such.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'm worried about is Tyrese Maxey's development because he's having a great season, Cinderella season, you could say, in the top five for most improved player for sure from last year. But I just hope that doesn't affect his production, because his shooting stats are really good. He's averaging about 16.7 points per game, I believe, if I'm wrong, close to 17. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how they complement each other, Maxey and James Harden. But I would say their starting lineup is set. They have a nasty starting lineup.
Nasty in a good way.
Adding Harden to that, you got Tobias and Joel. You got Matias off the bench. It's nice. I think you just have to worry about your rotation and, you know, make sure just health is important. Make sure Joel's happy. Make him happy. Surround yourself with big bodies and just play and hoop and do your thing. Like every trade in the NBA, you can't judge until they play and see how it turns out. You never know. Maybe 76ers will win this trade, and we don't know if Andre Drummond and Seth Curry are going to be the same. You never know. I doubt that will happen. But yeah, very interesting trade. I can't wait to see. I know that the availability of Harden and Ben Simmons is still up in the air. I think they're not going to make their debuts right away. They're going to ease themselves in, maybe figure out some contracts. For sure, Ben Simmons is going to have to get in the mix.
Before we move on, I just got to say this one last thing about the trade, because I know everyone's been talking about it, so no one wants to hear that much about it anymore. But one thing I just got to say, one of Mark Cuban's biggest regrets as an affiliation of the Mavericks being the owner is trading away Seth Curry to Philly. So I just wanted to say that, because Seth Curry being involved in this trade might be one of the biggest regrets that the Sixers have, because arguably there's been times where he's been the second best player on the court for Philly. So that is a huge get, in my opinion, for the Brooklyn Nets.
Huge get. Doc Rivers is going to miss his son-in-law.
Can't believe he traded him away right after he said he brought him just to see his grandchildren. He just traded them away.
Hey, Doc says, like, I don't think he was mad. I didn't like him at first.
Oh my gosh, Doc Rivers is something else.
He's a savage.
Doc Rivers is something else. He is a savage, and he is a lot of things. Maybe not a good coach. Maybe a great coach. I'm not.
Never know. You know, the Cuban and I class was just ending, and we read there's a rumor that Philadelphia might be going after
goodness.
Mike D'Antoni. They want to go all offense. They want to go all in this.
They just want to create the Houston Rockets. Hey, just bring everyone to that point. Try to get Chris Paul. Trade CP3. Joel Embiid for Clint Capella. I don't even know where you're going.
Straight up.
I don't even know how that would work. But anyways, that's enough talk on the Ben Simmons, James Harden trade. I know it's a lot. But before we move on to what our next big topic is, Malik, just a glance, or maybe give some insight of from those deadline deals that were made, which one was your favorite?
Ooh, you know what? There's been a lot. You know, that Dallas Mavericks trade was very interesting, but that was not
so
my favorite.
Surprising.
I'm going to go for a really underrated one. And
if you say, like, Aaron Holiday to the Suns, I'm going to look at you so weird. I'm going to look at you so weird.
You know
I'm
what?
So scared.
You know, I'll do something fun for you. All right. I would say my favorite deadline trade is the Hornets acquiring Montrezl Harrell.
I would say that's
a really good one. Much, much needed. I know he's off the bench right now. He had a 15-point game with only like 19 minutes.
He had like three dunks in the first quarter.
Very productive. I see him overtaking Plumlee's starting spot in no time.
Unless they want to
make their bench a little bit deep and make him off the bench, just that energy guy, because Wizards did that as well, because they went from starting Montrezl to starting Gafford, starting Thomas Bryant, and they couldn't decide what they want to do. So I they could go either way, Hornets, but much, much needed center. That's going to help them. Help them for the long haul. They did trade Vernon Carey, which I thought was a decent player. Didn't get a lot of minutes, but we'll see what he could do on Wizards. They got Ish Smith and a 2023 second round pick. I would say that's a major W for Charlotte.
Definitely. And Montrez gets to be in his hometown state. I didn't even realize that that's his hometown
state. He's from North Carolina?
Yeah, he's from North Carolina. So,
damn, with MJ, did not
MJ,
know that.
So he's talking about how he's back, his family now, he's around them and stuff. So it's kind of finally be back home. So
they're probably targeting him for a while.
Maybe they definitely were. And it works out both parties. I think it's a great deal. Even though I know Hornets fans wanted the big home run player of Miles Turner or a taller center.
Yep.
But Montrez still provides a lot of value for that team, especially a young, fun team like that. Having a hard, gritty worker like that just brings everything together, you know? So
I can see him and Miles Bridges going back and forth,
My goodness, that's good. They're going to have some games where they're going to be dunking like at least like 13 times in the game. They're a great team. I like that trade. You definitely surprised me with that one.
All right. Yeah, I can't wait to hear Nikeem's.
Oh, gosh. Thing is, I could say a few of them. Like, there's the big ones, you know, but one that I think is an under-radar one that I really liked and I didn't understand at first was the Boston Celtics acquiring Derek White.
That's a nice one.
I think that's a great trade for the Boston Celtics, and also a great trade for the San Antonio Spurs, because I believe they got a first-round pick out of it.
Yep, they got a first-round pick. They got two first-round picks, one from Boston and one from Toronto.
They were able to get Romeo Langford and Josh Richardson. And Richardson, I don't know if he's going to do anything for them. He's been a good shooter this year, but nothing too crazy. And then you get Romeo Langford, another guard who you don't know if he's going to stay long term, but you can develop him, as they've had a great development program.
Yeah.
And maybe he turns into something special.
Yeah.
But for the Celtics, getting Derek White, there's a few players in the NBA that are, I would like to consider, connectors. Like, they're not superstar changing players, but you put them in between superstars and they connect them together.
Yeah.
A great example of this is Mike Conley. Mike Conley is a great connector. He's not a superstar player, but put him in the mix with some star talent, he's able to bring everyone together.
Yes.
And I view Derek White as that for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. He's not going to go in there and dominate the ball, but he's going to complement both of them in a way that they can now coexist with another offensive creator who could be a playmaker, who could take some pressure off of them from doing majority of the offensive obligations on the court. And I think he had a great game in his debut, like 18 points or something like along the lines of that.
Great. And the thing is that he's almost like a two-way shooting guard.
He helps
you in the offense, he helps you on defense because he has a long wingspan.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets bare blocks. He goes crazy. He goes crazy on defense too. Yeah, I think 18, then he got 15, then he got 14. Hey, we're Raptors fans, and Boston's our main rival. I guess Philadelphia would be our second main rival.
It's crazy.
We ain't that happy.
As soon as the Raptors are going on a crazy win streak, the Celtics had to go on a win streak too.
Damn it.
And they're not losing. They're not losing, and I hope they lose soon, because now I believe the Raptors dropped to seventh.
We dropped to seventh.
And they're the sixth, right?
Yeah. Hey, Boston has Philly next.
Hey, we'll see how that turns out.
Tonight or tomorrow, but it's going to be a nice game. It might be tomorrow.
James Harden might make a return sooner or later, I think they said, but he's still recovering from an injury or something like that.
Yeah, I think he's still recovering from an injury. A little bit of management in there for sure.
But Boston got some.
Boston got some bodies.
They got some good stuff there. They had a pretty good deadline. I liked what they did. I love what San Antonio did. Ooh. They got rid of Derek White. They had the logjam at the guard position. Now that opens up more minutes for Josh Primo, who I am a big fan of, because we don't watch many Spurs games, but the one time he played Toronto so far this season,
that was his best game.
He had his career high. He played great.
He looked so good,
you know, just playmaking, coming off the ball and things like that. And now he's able to get more minutes, and he's, I believe, the youngest player in that draft.
Yeah, the youngest player in that draft. Yeah, he was just turned 19, I think.
That is crazy.
That's crazy, and it also helps the Spurs development yes. movement there with the rotations. All young guys, 25 and under. You got Devin Vassell,
mm-hmm.
who's been kicking it. He's doing his thing. He's gonna start now. Callum Johnson. This helps with his development. He's a bit of a sometimes he plays small four, power four, but he's only 6'5", so
yeah,
a bit with his shooting ability. He can slide to the two spot, and DeJounte Murray is your leader right there. Rightfully so. He's a great leader. I would say he's been doing things. That's another conversation.
He's arguably
go off on a tangent with DeJounte.
Yeah, definitely. He's arguably been like a top four point guard.
You could argue that he's been a top four point guard this season.
And as Malik said, we could literally go on a tangent about DeJounte Murray. We won't. And he might have been in this other category if he wasn't selected as an all-star replacement. But he isn't. But that leads us into what we're going to be talking about next. And Malik, this is something where it might not be the same as recent years because of the injuries that took place with players now being able to get those spots in. But all-star snubs, there's always going to be some snubs in the all-star game. And there definitely is a couple, in my opinion. There was one player who made it that really surprised me because I did not even expect him to
be
in consideration.
Yep.
But I thought his teammate had a better chance of even being in the All-Star.
I already know who you're going to say. I have him on the list as well.
I have him on the list as... Yep. We both... I know we're thinking alike, but the name that comes to mind is Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton has been a perennial All-Star for a while. Well, I can see a perennial All-Star.
Yeah.
But for him to be in it with the group of talent that was... could have made it is just confusing to me because... although the Milwaukee Bucks are ahead of, let's say, the Toronto Raptors, I think Pascal Siakam has been better.
Me too.
I think that Jared Allen is more deserving of that spot.
Yeah, you could even argue Miles Bridges.
I think Jrue Holiday is more deserving of that spot.
I'm on the list.
But the thing is, like, I get the position. The position has to be the same. He's a forward. Drew's a point guard, and the guard spot was already packed. But this is why we need to get rid of positions in general. Because if KD is a forward, and if he goes down, LaMelo Ball can replace him, and who's a guard? What's the point of even having the positions in the first place?
Exactly.
We're in a positionless basketball age.
Yeah.
Why not get rid of positions? But Malik.
Just why not?
You agreed with me with the whole Chris Middleton being an all-star. So that means you must have some snubs. Let me know your top three snubs that you've got.
Hey, you already said two already, but I'll get into my sleeper, which you may laugh.
Oh, gosh.
You may laugh. I'm trying to be funny here, but I have Pascal Siakam on my list, and I have Jrue Holiday on my list for the top two. You know, okay. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I think they're both worthy of an all-star selection. You could even put Siakam over LaMelo. That was picked. And you could put Jrue Holiday over Chris Middleton. That was picked.
Yeah.
So I believe those two are having an excellent season. I think without Jrue Holiday, I think Milwaukee Bucks can't really facilitate, and they can't bring their core group together. I think they'll have runs, but Holiday is the reason that everyone is communicating and that everyone is in their position, filling in the void for whatever injuries and in the rotation in the minutes as well. So I feel like Jrue Holiday is kind of that mold for the Milwaukee Bucks that they
definitely
need. Absolutely. But getting into my third.
Oh, gosh. This is where I get scared.
Let's see.
Oh, gosh.
All right. So he is someone that is arguably, you could arguably say he's a top five center in the Western Conference. And that is my main man, Jonas Valanciunas.
Wow, was not expecting that.
I feel like maybe he was overlooked a little bit, but I feel like if there was another injury, he could possibly be a replacement in the Western Conference, averaging 18 and 11. This is his best season of his career, just blossoming after being traded from the Raptors to Memphis, all the way to Pelicans. So he's been traded left, right. Now he's going crazy. My friend Kasim has it on fantasy.
Shout out Kasim.
Amazing. I think the projections they had him, Valanciunas only averaging 12.9 and 10. He's broken all those stats. He's doing great. He had that nice 39-point game, I think.
Yeah.
When he hit 6-7 threes.
Yeah, he had 7 threes in the first half.
Holy smokes. But hey, I would say Valanciunas is on a rampage. He's on a tear. I'm glad New Orleans didn't move him. He's doing his thing. I think he could be their future center if they can. And if he develops a little bit of defense, I say that he'll do his thing.
So. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm not upset with that at all. Hey. Valanciunas, I can see it.
Jonas.
And at one point, he was shooting 50% from three on the season. Like, he was doing some crazy things.
Wee.
But I would not agree with you with the Jonas Valanciunas. My list is kind of basic, and I'm going to admit it. So I'm sorry if you were expecting me to say, I don't know, like
Jalen Brunson.
Nikola Vucevic. Jalen Brunson, maybe. Yeah, you're not going to get that here. I'm going to go a little bit basic with that. But I also agree Pascal Siakam, I believe, is a snub. I would have had him before Chris Middleton. And if you look at his stats, he is having the best season of his career, in my opinion. He's not averaging the most points. He's only about like 8/10 of a point lower than his career high back in his All-NBA and All-Star season at 22.1 points per game. He's averaging a career high in rebounds at 8.7 rebounds, career high in assists at 5.2 assists, and he's doing this on incredible efficiency, which is the most since the championship season, where he averaged 55% from the field. He's now averaging 50% from the field.
That's dope.
And that is you got to take that with a grain of salt, because his usage is incredibly high now. Compared to that season where he averaged 55%, he was taking 12 shots. This season, he's taking 17. So for him to have that much more of a load, he's playing about 38 minutes per game. I think when you look at that Raptors team as deserving of Fred VanVleet is of an all-star spot,
yes,
Pascal is definitely in that situation too.
I couldn't agree more. He was my number one. You know, okay, I'm from Toronto. You know. Yeah,
you can see the bias. I can hear the bias. Okay,
there's a little bit of bias, but you could argue that he's deserving as much as Jared Allen, deserving as much as Miles Bridges, LaMelo, and Jaylen Brown, for sure. You can put them all in that conversation.
It's just one of those things where, like, have the Raptors been that good to deserve two All-Stars?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. But,
unfortunately,
you know, that's the thing. But a team that I think did deserve two All-Stars is the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I think
the Cavs, man.
With Darius Garland, I feel like him and Jared Allen are a package deal, because they help each other so much. And a lot of the Cavs' success comes from them two together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, their pick and roll play, the way they're able to feed off each other. And looking at Jared Allen, he's having the best year of his career in almost every single statistical category.
Oof.
He's averaging 16.2 points, 11.1 rebounds, about 1.3 blocks per game. And he's doing this on 66% shooting from the field.
Wow.
So he knows exactly what to do, get to his spots, what shots to take. And he is just anchoring that defense. I mean, that Cavs lineup with those 7-footers all in the front court was so confusing in the beginning of the season, but they're looking like geniuses. JB Bickerstaff and his staff.
Works. JB Bickerstaff
is looking
smart. I would say candidate for coach of the year.
Definitely. I would definitely have them up there. And then for my last one, I'll make this quick. I got a Pelicans player as well. Just not Jonas Valanciunas.
I already know.
I got Jose Alvarado. No, I'm joking.
I'm disappointed.
He's a nice guy. He's a Brooklyn guy. You can hear the accent when he talks, which I rate. I like that.
Be like, yeah, I got to ball out in New York with my fam.
I love the clip of D'Angelo Russell asking, can he shoot? He's like, yeah, I can shoot. And then he shoots and it makes it. I love that. But I got none other than the ESPN theme. I've got none other than Mr. Tiny Dog himself. Can you take a guess who that is? I'm looking at their nickname on Basketball Reference, and one of them is Tiny Dog. So let's see if you can guess who this is.
Tiny Dog.
Yeah.
I don't think I even know who this player is. That's a pretty interesting name. Can I guess?
Yeah, guess. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, take a guess. Tiny Dog.
Kyra Lewis Jr.
It is Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram, Tiny Dog. He also is called Slender Man, Humble Beast.
If you said Slender Man, that maybe I would have guessed.
And Kingram. I like Kingram. That's a nice nickname.
Ooh, Kingram. Yo, but I'm the Kingram. I'm going up against King James. I'm Kingram.
Oh, he's going to start freestyling. I already know. But hey, that's the wrong podcast for this. But he is averaging about, you know, a little bit lower than his all-star year at 22.7. He's had a pretty good season. And I think without him, the Pelicans would have been tremendously worse. I mean, my goodness, they're already been disappointing. Mm. But I think he is definitely deserving of an all-star spot, and I would have him as a snub. But that wraps up what we have to talk about, the all-stars, and also what we have to talk about basketball in general for this week. Malik, give the people a little bit of what to look out for in the NBA this upcoming week. What's your one takeaway that you think people should focus on?
Yeah, you know, the Eastern Conference is stacked right now, so be prepared for some shifts in the rankings. Raptors and Boston are just chasing each other right now. Harden set to make his debut sooner than later, so watch out for Brooklyn.
Hey, you mean Philly.
Philly.
But also, watch out for Brooklyn of snapping that losing streak. Eventually, they're at 10 games.
11, actually.
11 games, my goodness.
Hey, if you slide into the west side, Phoenix looks good. Golden State looks good. Memphis is good. And Dylan Brooks has yet to return. So when Dylan Brooks returns for Memphis, I don't know.
They're going to look nasty.
That's going to be nasty. But yeah, Minnesota, 7th seed. I think they're on a win streak right now, I believe. And yeah, some popular games that are going to happen tonight. Big one between Golden State and Clippers. We're going to see if Clippers can close out, upset the Warriors. And yeah, everything else seems good. Portland can maybe make another upset. Portland just beat the Lakers. They have Milwaukee Bucks tonight. Let's see if Anthony Simons could go off against Drew Holiday.
That's going to be a blowout. I don't see. Yeah, Giannis is dunking all over them, guys. Let's be honest. Let's be honest, Giannis. I'm not even going to try. But that's our little two cents about basketball. Make sure y'all check out what Malik got to say and go do exactly what he told you guys to check out on. But we're back. We're happy to be back in person recording the Hoop Central podcast right here on Spirit Live. And with that being said, it's been your boy Nakeem.
It's been your boy Malik.
And we shall see you all next week's episode.
Yo, peace.